Chapter 47. Not just the building, all of Lower Manhattan. First the Woolworth Building, then every light on every wall in the canyons of Lower Manhattan. The elevators wouldn't be operating. But somebody should have showed up by now. Maybe they were waiting to hear from the SWAT guys. Why weren't they coming up the stairs? Where were the stairs? The gout of blood from Sharp's cleanly amputated arm had stopped. The wound was grotesque. Sharp sat with his knees up, his head resting against the wall, eyes shut, slowly counting out his breath. It was an impressive display of self-control, the result of years of martial arts and yoga. Sarah squatted down next to him, causing her hem to rise up in an immodest manner that under any other circumstance she would have been quick to correct. "Derek, you're doing great? I have to leave you for a minute to get help." "Cell phone," he rasped. "Jacket pocket." Sarah felt in his jacket, found the plastic clam, flipped it open. Dead. She looked at her watch, hands frozen. Not good. It wasn't a natural blackout. Something was sucking the juice out of every battery in Lower Manhattan, not just the grid. "Remember, we have to loosen the tourniquet every 5 minutes." Or did they? What were they trying to save? The remaining 4 inches of stump? She chastised herself. She had to focus, keep it together until help arrived. Sharp croaked. "Water," he gasped. Sarah rose. She remembered passing a water fountain by the elevator. She grabbed an Etruscan-style vase off a plinth, rinsed it out, filled it with water. Outside, the city breathed in fear, wondering what had happened. Millions would assume it was another terrorist attack. They'd rush to the televisions but receive no solace. The cars were dead. Nothing was moving. For the first time ever, Sarah couldn't hear any sirens. She heard voices, howls of confusion, anger, paranoia, floating up from below. Cries of fear, questions hurled into the night. She ran back to Sharp, knelt, helped guide the vase to his mouth. He drank greedily, Adam's apple bobbing. "This time," he said, "I could feel what was happening. Spirit of a dead samurai, fierce. Fierce spirit. Chose me. Because of what happened over there." "What happened, Derek? What happened over there?" "Joint exercise, with Japanese anti-terrorist police, charismatic Shinto cult leader named Osaki, holed up in a mountain retreat in Hokkaido, he attacked me. I took a cut in the shoulder, right through my vest. I shot him, but it was too late. Cursed. A samurai who was forced to commit seppuku, when he cut me, the spirit transferred from him to me." "Shigeyoshi?" she asked in surprise. "How did you know?" "It doesn't matter. Where was the damned ambulance?" She forgot. Nothing was running. No help was coming. Sharp looked pale, and had slumped down. The best she could do for now was to make him comfortable. She looked around for something to cover him, to keep him from getting cold, found an expensive-looking oriental rug on the wall in a side room, tore it down. Taking a cushion from a sofa near the elevator, she covered Sharp and made him as comfortable as possible. There was nothing more she could do. She turned to examine the sword. Sharp's hand lay on the floor. Empty. A scraping sound from the shadows, a gleam of reflective light from the three-quarter moon as the blade emerged, seemingly suspended in midair. Then the man, short blondish-brown hair, moon in glasses, then the rest of him. "David," she said in an eerily calm voice. "Put it down." But he was not David. The creature that shuffled into the moonlight wore David's clothes, his body, but it belonged to another era. Death lurked in its eyes, no longer hidden. The thing that was David spat a squirt of guttural Japanese and attacked. He did not seem to lift his legs. He skated forward, seemingly exempt from the laws of physics, the glittering blade held overhead like an axe. Sarah had always been quick, but were it not for the witchblade, her reflexes would have failed. Her arm didn't raise the witchblade. The witchblade raised the arm, meeting Skyroot's downward stroke 6 inches above Sarah's head. The shock compressed her nearly to the floor as the witchblade entwined Skyroot. It was like catching a Lincoln Blackwood with a razor attached. For an instant they remained frozen, the undavid bringing all his weight to bear on the blade, Sarah struggling, free hand bracing the witchblade inches from her face, as Sharp struggled feebly to distance himself. "Who are you?" Sarah demanded. With both hands, the creature withdrew the blade. There was a sound like exposed nerves, fingernails on chalkboards, yowling cats, screaming children. Skyroot repelled her, slicing through the unknown metal of the witchblade, gashing Sarah's palm to the bone. She could feel the warm blood flowing down her arm. Skyroot had cut the witchblade. The creature backed off, leaving Sarah sprawled on the floor. An unknown expression subtly rearranging David's features so that he resembled a bad wax image of himself, or the way he might look after an undertaker had done his work. Slitted eyes beamed hate. Clenched jaw spat forth a stream of jagged-edged consonants like tobacco juice. One word was recognizable. "Udo," she hissed. The creature smiled grimly, a smile of death. She recalled the story, how once he had slain his rival and the Lady Sakura, Udo had gone on to slaughter hundreds of innocent men, women, and children. His malignant soul had come to roost in sweet, innocent David. How could that happen? How could she fight him? Crunching sounds from below, as someone tried to batter their way through a locked steel door. Hecht was concerned about security, all right. He'd made his performing arts center a fort, an elegant pillbox with a wig and makeup. The glass was 3 inches thick, optically perfect, impervious to armor-piercing rockets. Hand burning fiercely, Sarah summoned up all the strength she could muster in her battered state and rose to her feet. A whispered prayer. She tried to conceive a strategy that would somehow save both their lives, but was left wanting. She was hurt badly and she knew that she couldn't compete with the heavy sluggers. She would have to rely on her speed, agility, and the witchblade. "I know you can understand me," she hissed, speaking not to the young man she'd come to love, but to the warrior spirit lurking like cancer behind him. "What do you want?" Sarah howled.
"Blood."
Voice like buckling metal, like white noise, like screams in the night. It attacked, fusing supernatural strength with skill and cunning, a dragon's tongue, leaving a gleaming retinal silver trail. Sarah had no time to anticipate. The witchblade was in constant motion, intercepting each blow, describing a series of arabesques. The stone glowed like a red dwarf with each contact. If Udo killed her, nothing would stop him. Udo was apparently beyond death's reach and Skyroot had proved a match for the witchblade. Would the police be able to gun him down in a fusillade of lead? An entity powerful enough to black out the entire city wasn't likely to be stopped by bullets. Would its otherworldly power continue to animate David's corpse, long after his body had been mortally wounded? An unstoppable, inhuman engine of destruction. A bolt of white-hot fury ignited in her gut and flushed through her system, indistinguishable from the witchblade. Her fingers fused into a 28-inch blade of a delicate curving nature. The metal itself was not smooth, like the katana. It was a crazy quilt of textures that never settled. Only in motion could Sarah get a sense of shifting patterns, rune-like, a ghost finger writing on the wall of some long-forgotten tomb. "Leave him," she screamed, fighting back with a series of withering parries. "Sakura," the thing rasped. Sarah's eyes went wide with horror. The non-David grinned and pressed his attack. Sarah gave herself to the witchblade, moving through a series of complex steps designed to provide maximum mobility, thrust, and defense. The non-David relentlessly circled, slashing, stabbing, seeking an opening with terminal fury. It drove her across the inlaid ballroom floor, across the North Atlantic, east to west, almost faster than she could shuffle on the balls of her feet. She stumbled at Hudson Bay. The thing coiled like a serpent. She saw death in its obsidian eyes. She remembered that David's eyes were blue. For a nanosecond she saw the way things might have been, the split level in Westchester, the two Moppets, one boy, one girl, some kind of pound puppy, spreading waistlines and happiness. All futile. Not for her. Never for her. Not for Vince's little girl. She had her own curse to bear. The malevolence shrieked with all the bloodlust in the jungle and slashed downward in a man-killing stroke. Sarah lunged forward, ducking inside the slash and inserting her knife arm at the hip, drawing across his body toward the opposite shoulder, feeling the meat part, the scrape of the bone, the tensile snapping of connective tissue. The witchblade was out the other side, flicking blood as far as Rio de Janeiro. David looked down in astonishment. "What?" he said before slipping in too. He was dead before his torso hit the floor. His guts splashed in righteous display. A man of honor forced to commit seppuku would welcome such incontinence. Sarah remained sitting at David's feet, her face speckled with blood, but the witchblade had withdrawn into itself, leaving only the wristband. A massive scraping sound issued from somewhere close, followed by matter-of-fact murmuring. Hecht must have rallied his troops and broken through. Or maybe the PD. Trembling, she sank to her knees and crawled forward, cradling David's lifeless head and torso in her arms, soaking her ruined dress in gore. Skyroot lay inert, temporarily sated. Her tears dripped onto his lifeless eyes. "Oh, David," she moaned softly. "God damn it. I'm so sorry." The black bone snouts of assault rifles poked around the corner, followed by black-clad SWAT guys in Kevlar helmets. "It's okay," she tried to say. It came out a croak. She waved her hand. She remembered the shield around her neck and held it up, dripping blood. "I'm a cop," she gasped.